Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, and welcome to our podcast.
This is Get Lit with Carson and Jana. I said it wrong again.
You did it again. I also loved the enunciation. Get Lit.
Get Lit.
I'm Carson.
And I'm Jana.
And we are here with episode number 8 of Get Lit. Get Lit.
And we still don't know what we're doing.
No, as you can tell. should we just
dive into it?
Dive into it. I feel like it's been a while since we've sat down.
It has been.
Pod. I don't even remember. I mean, last time we recorded, I uploaded it that day.
Like 3 weeks, I think, I want to say.
It's been a while. It was in March.
It was in March.
Of April, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look now because I'm curious.
No, it was.
It was definitely in March when we recorded.
Yes.
March 16th.
Holy crap, it's almost been a month.
It's been a month? Wow. I was like, it was March 31st? No. March 16th. Okay. Well, so.
We got lots to catch up.
It was an accident. We didn't mean to take all this time off, but we had, you know, things here and there. We couldn't find a good day to record. Plus, we had to read our book of the month book.
Well, part of it. We had to read part of it.
Yeah, and considering it's been a month, it's funny that
we have
finished the whole thing.
Really, because we probably could have. Okay. It's fine.
Honestly, though, it was kind of a stretch. I was so busy reading a thousand other things. Anyways.
And this is a thick book. I mean, let's be fair. How many pages?
Like high 500s.
It is. 565.
Yeah.
66. That is kind of a bigger book. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are.
It is. It's a shorter one.
Height wise.
Right. Like, I think they could have, if they'd made it, you know, an inch taller.
Well, you know what I've noticed is a lot of hardcover books are always taller.
And paperbacks are shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
So, like, the, like, hardcover books are taller and not as thick.
Yeah.
But then paper, I don't know why don't they don't just make them the same size.
There was, I have to tell you, because this is one of my pet peeves. As I buy books to go on my bookshelves, I hate when I'm stuck where I want to complete the book, buying the books in the series, but, like, some of them are only in hardbacks, some of them are in paper. So I have a mixed set.
I have the same problem, but I just refuse.
I know.
I will not buy the hardcover until it comes out in paperback. And then I'm like, I should have just bought it hardcover from the beginning, but they don't sell the hardcovers anymore.
You know, yeah.
Like Light Lark, for example, fairly new series. The third book just recently came out, so it's still only in hardcover.
Right.
But the first two books at Barnes & Noble, only
paperback. Only in paperback. I know. It's kind of ridiculous.
And also, the length of time between when they release the hardcover and, like, the paperback, it's like years. Well, like,
I think it's supposed to be only 1 year.
That's still
depends
on. Like,
I agree.
A month?
Because
why don't you just release them both at the same time? Then people can choose if they want hardcover or paper.
I think it's because they want to make us all sucked. Oh yeah, it totally is. Because as we know, hardcovers are a good $15 or $20 more.
Most that I've seen these days are like 30.
Yeah, I know, but they're like that much more than a paperback.
Oh, right.
So anyway, I saw this TikTok the other day because, again, my pet peeve is that when I have a mismatched set for a series of books. And it was this girl, and she had, from her own bookshelf, she had recorded these series where, like, all of a sudden they made one that didn't match. The spine didn't match. It didn't match height-wise. It didn't match the format of how they put the author's name and the title and whatnot on the side. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny to me because I thought, yes, that bothers me too.
Yeah.
Like, why? Make it make sense. That's why do you have to change it?
That's how my Bridgerton series is.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, a couple of them have the Netflix covers.
Right.
But then I go back to get, like, to look at the not Netflix cover, and one of them is still not the same.
Oh, my gosh.
The first one is completely different. And I'm like, why would you not just republish them to make them all the same? Because that I would buy.
Yeah. No, for reals.
And even on the Netflix ones, I don't care about the Netflix cover. It's not my favorite thing.
Right.
But the spine doesn't match the rest of them.
Yeah.
I don't care what the front looks like, but the spines that I'm looking at all the time.
Need to.
I would like those to match.
Yeah. My Throne of Glass series. So when I purchased them, it was the older style cover. And then when I got to rereading them, because I had read them years ago when they came out, the first, like, yeah. You know. Anyway, but I hadn't ever read Kingdom of Ash, the last one. Hadn't read that one yet. So anyway, I'm rereading and I realize I need that book. So I go in and I'm trying to find the cover that matches.
Yep.
The one I, and of course they don't make that cover anymore. So now I have, that is mismatched.
You can get it on eBay for like $500.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Because that's fine. I have money for that.
Yeah. People, I've been seeing that. Like even on Facebook Marketplace, people are selling that set of covers for Throne of Glass, but it's like a boxed set and it's like never been opened. And it's like $600.
Yeah.
I don't think those covers are that great.
At the end of the day, it's still paper and you can still burn it.
Yeah.
It should be.
Those covers aren't that great. I like the new ones better.
Mm. I do too, but if my books had all matched.
Right. That's different.
Which they don't.
Like, who's going into this blindly being like, ooh, I'm going to spend $600 on the set for these covers.
Yeah, I'm not. But I think probably those people that have to have all of the collector's editions. Carson.
Shut up. I don't have to have all of them.
Just most of them.
I don't have that many. I have the collector's edition of Throne of Glass.
Okay.
I have the collector's edition of Lightlark. I have the special editions of Bridgerton. Okay. But those were, I don't know. The one, I think that's all that I have.
I feel like the only one I have is those new Harry Potter ones that come out with like the
pop-outs and stuff. If I like something, I want every version of it. But I will say, I kind of almost regret purchasing the collector's edition of Throne of Glass because it doesn't really have like bonus features.
Right.
And I think if you're going to release a special edition, collector's edition, that's what it should have. Like the Lightlark one has all kinds of art in it. It has like a map, all this cool stuff included that you don't get in the regular one. But Throne of Glass collector's edition, I bought just because I'm obsessed with the series and I love it, but it's just like a fancy cover and it has like a slip case and like a ribbon bookmark.
See, and I'm with you. I feel like if they're gonna do a new edition or a new special something, whatever, it needs to have extra stuff that the other ones don't have to encourage
not
me
just
to
a fun cover.
Yeah. So we were in Barnes and Noble on Saturday and I noticed that they had this really cool looking black cover for A Court of Thorn and Roses, the ACOTAR series. But that's, and then they had black sprayed edges. And it was paperback, so it wasn't like a hardback. But still, there was nothing extra in the books. It was just that the cover, instead of being bright and colorful, was black and silver and black edges.
Yeah.
That was it.
Just like blacked out.
And I thought, what's the point? I get that that's going to cater to that person who wants the night edition.
It's like an aesthetic
type. But still. Thing. Anyway.
But on that point, like the Harry Potter ones that they're coming out with,
yeah,
I would buy every single. They have the illustrated edition,
yes.
Then they have those interactive pop-up editions.
Ones. Those are the ones I'm getting.
I feel like they have so many cool things. I would buy the whole series in every format to have that because that's something unique and special.
Yes.
But just releasing like a new rare edition that's just a hardcover with sprayed edges,
It doesn't feel
I don't do that.
I agree.
I like the Bridgerton ones I bought. Those don't really have anything special about them either. They were pretty, but they all also like they were hard bound with custom covers, but it was two books in one. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't typically like we saw that the special edition of The Nightingale.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty. It had like a cool cover and sprayed edges, but that's all it had to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I need two copies of the same thing?
I know. So what for me, what would be helpful while reading this book is for it to have a map.
A map and also...
Because I find myself having to Google to look up locations and distances and all of that because I'm like, how far is that?
And I need a glossary.
Oh, for sure.
They're using so many French words and German words. And
oh, yeah.
Also just words that I... Like English words that I don't know.
That we don't know. Exactly.
And I love it because that is totally, like, it makes the book more fun, where you can, like, learn something. And
as you're reading it. Yes.
But it's, like, so frequent that I'm like, I don't know
what she's talking about. Right. Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
So, okay, I guess that was our intro topic.
Welcome.
All good things, though. That's what this podcast is for.
Yes.
To talk about our books
and
our book pet peeves.
And we want to inform our listeners, who are also, we hope, readers of, you know, kind of what's going on out there in the book world.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to talk about our currently reading summary.
Okay.
So, Carson, you go first.
Okay. So, since we were last here, let me pull up Goodreads. The time just gets away from me. I know I finished The Teacher by Freida McFadden.
Oh, yeah. You did that for your book club.
Yes.
That is a good book. That's the first one of hers I ever read.
Wild. So I also finished Nightbane. I don't think I had finished it last time we recorded. I might have, though.
That's right.
So I finished Nightbane and The Teacher since we last recorded. Both of those got 4 stars from me. Nightbane got 4 stars because it was good, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay.
And then The Teacher I gave 4 stars because, well, so I gave it 5 stars at first because it was really good. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, jaw-dropping moments.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it kind of made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. So we're going to do 100%.
So I gave it 4.
It touches on topics or themes that...
They're a little wild.
Shouldn't be happening.
I mean, was I kind of like jaw-dropping? Yes. Especially at the end, if you know, you know. But like, towards the middle, I was like,
ooh.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been reading Kingdom of Ash, last book in the Throne of Glass series.
I see your bookmark. It looks like you're halfway through.
I'm about halfway through. I went on a little reading retreat. By myself. I went on a little trip and I brought this book and I was like, I'm going to spend my time with this book. I was only there for like a day. And I just read the whole day and I got about halfway through. And then I haven't picked it back up since because I've been reading 1,000 other things for book clubs. The Teacher, The Nightingale, all these things. And also, part of it is like, I just...
That's my fridge. It's filling up the ice cube tray thing with water. There's random sounds in my house.
I love it. So Kingdom of Ash, I also am just like scared to keep reading.
Oh, well then obviously you haven't gotten to the soul crushing parts yet.
Nope. And that's the other thing, as I was gonna say, I'm halfway through and I'm kind of like, Sarah, like, what are you doing? Like, because that is almost the length of the rest of her books. Actually, that's not true. But
yeah.
I feel like a lot has happened,
but nothing
has happened.
Yep.
Kind of similar to Tower of Dawn. I'm pretty sure I said that exact same thing. But I'm like, not that I want people to die.
I know.
Or like, I don't want any of our main characters to die. But I'm like, how has nobody died yet?
It's almost as if time stands still for a second in that book. And it's not progressing. But it is progressing.
Like, there's still a
war. I don't know if that...
And they're going...
Yeah.
Fighting on the battlefield, but no one's getting injured. No one's dying. Which is great. But, like, you almost expect someone to die.
Because every page, right? Because it's a bloody
war. Yeah. Like, it's a huge war.
For sure.
So, I'm just conflicted on... the happenings. I know, I'm pretty sure the chapter I left off, something was about to happen. So I
Oh.
will be picking this back up.
As soon as we're done with the Nightingale?
Yes, I'm gonna
Okay.
finish this and then finish this. And then anyway. It's good so far. I loved when, okay, so spoilers if you haven't read it. I loved when Aelin broke free,
Yes.
but that she was able to almost like break herself free. Like she did a bulk of the work to escape,
Nobody had to like
but
rescue her, per se.
it was cool that there was also the other timeline finally like meshed up with hers, and they were in the same place at the same time, so that she did have help, but she didn't entirely need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it maintains like her as a character,
Yeah.
how she's strong and can save herself and doesn't need, like, because you know she's always been that way
Yeah.
in her past. Like she just saves herself, she doesn't count on anybody. So she was the one that got herself out, but it was convenient that the others happened to be there to help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
Yeah.
thought that was well written, and I was also glad that that happened early on in the book, because I was really worried I was going to have to read the whole, almost the whole book, and hear about her being tortured
Yeah.
before she even made any attempt to escape.
No,
So I'm
for
glad that
reals.
happened in the beginning.
Because I don't like reading about torture.
Oh,
Like,
and also,
I need
like,
that to be
you
done.
just want, like, when you're reading about the battles, like, you just want the most powerful one to be there and help, and she's like their queen. So I'm
Yeah.
glad we're getting somewhere with that as well.
Me too. You'll get there. And the last half of that book,
I know, I'm so scared.
oh, it'll be a lot
Is
for
this one
you.
broken up into parts?
I think it's a 1, 2, 3, isn't it? Maybe it's not. I don't
Yeah,
know.
part one.
Yeah, okay. Maybe part two. I'm sure that
I'm
it.
sure there is.
You're
Oh,
probably
if there's
just.
part one, there is a part two.
You're just flipping too fast, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
Anyway,
fine.
so I'm still in part one. I know that much.
Okay.
But I'm halfway through the book.
Cool.
And then obviously I'm halfway through The Nightingale as well, but we'll talk about that
In a
later.
minute. Okay, well, so far I've read 34 of my 90 books for my goal
Oh my gosh.
this year.
I
I
feel
know.
like last time we updated, you were only at like
So
three.
I actually had, yeah, partway through March, I hadn't read very many. I think that I was at 4 or 5, which is not very many for me. And so I was struggling with getting into Nightbane, and I actually haven't even finished listening to it because I just am struggling with what's happening in the story. But anyway, I digress. So I picked up a series that I had been reading, which is the Unselected Journals of Emma M. Lyon. If you have not read those and you like historical fiction, things that are witty, amusing, like just clever. All on just full out clever. That is a really good series. It's really cute. Anyway, I picked those up and I was able to cruise through
Yeah,
those.
because those are smaller, quick reads.
Well, the beginning ones are. The
Yeah.
last three or four are thicker, but still not like a 500 page book. No, they're like 250 maybe.
Yeah.
So I was able to cruise through all of those, which was really nice, which kind of padded my March reads. And then and I finished number 8, which is all that she's written up to at this point in that series, and I finished that just last
Are
night.
there going to be more?
Well, it just ends. So there's got to be more. It's got to be wrapped up in a nice little bow.
Yeah.
And my there's a lot of things that we don't have closure on.
Yeah.
So my guess is yes, it was published in last year.
Oh, okay.
So it would make sense that one is coming out this year. I just don't know when. And you can't see anything about that on Goodreads. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of makes it look like this series is
Have you
done.
looked up the author like on Instagram?
I have not. I should probably do that. Anyway,
Who's the author? I'll look it up while we're talking.
I don't know. You'll have to look it up on Goodreads. So I read those. I read another one by Freida McFadden. It's one called One by One. Really good. I've been listening to Foxglove, which is book two in the Belladonna series by Adeline Grace. And of course, I read Sunrise on the Reaping.
Oh, no spoilers.
Well, it destroyed me. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
but I wanted to read that pretty quickly after receiving it, because I mean, it was it like March 18th or something that it came out? Anyway, I wanted to read it pretty quickly because I honestly was having to avoid spoilers on every social media platform. And so it was getting to the point where I was like, I've just got to read this and know what happens so that then I don't have it ruined for me. Mm-hmm. So I took it with me on when my daughter and I went on her graduation trip. And literally we went and we hung out at the pool one day, got ourselves really too warm and too hot and a little bit pink. And then we went back into our hotel room and I just snuggled up under our blankets. The air conditioner was blowing right on me, so it was like optimal. And I did not move for like 6 hours. And I read that whole book. And there was so many moments where I was like, and Sydney was like, what part did you just read? Because she had already read it. So anyway, that was fun. But at any rate, I am currently reading three books at the same time, which is kind of my standard. Because when I say reading, I mean a couple of them I'm listening to. So, but it has been so fun to get back into The Nightingale. That is also one of the books I've read.
This is, so I've obviously been busy with Throne of Glass series, Light Lark, all these other things. So this was my first, like, venture back into historical fiction.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reminded why historical fiction is, like, one of my favorites. I haven't read historical fiction in so long.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I just love this.
Me too. I love that it's a new story, but I love that it's based on action role.
Yes.
I can't
talk. That's my favorite type of
yeah.
historical fiction. I love that it's obviously that story isn't real, but it's based on very real people.
Yeah.
Very real actions.
Yeah.
Very real events. So like I read The Lost Girls of Paris, which is about the female radio operators.
Right.
Obviously, the characters in the book weren't real people, but
that actually
there very happen. Much were female radio operators trying to intercept German messages.
Yeah.
Quick point. She is writing the ninth book.
She's
still writing it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks. She better, you know, just.
She better send you an arc.
She better, like, get it really good because I'm invested in this series.
Honestly, I'm going to need at least two more. I haven't read them. But I feel like how perfect would it be to have 10? Not
agree.
9.
Agree.
So.
Agree. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where we're at with our current reading.
Yep.
What is the next thing that we want to go into?
So, Carson has received a couple of the flower letters. You know that we are doing the subscription to the flower letters. If you want your own, you can go to theflowerletters.com to get them. No, we are not sponsored. Yes, we would love to be. It's fun. It's like a story told through letters.
Mm-hmm. And it lasts a whole year.
And so it's really been a joy for me. I get excited when I get it in the mail, first of all, because it's not a bill. Mm-hmm. Second of all, because it's fun. I know it's going to be something really exciting to read. So Carson has two that he hasn't talked about. I think I might have, maybe I just haven't received, I don't know. I've only received one, I think. But the last one was a doozy. Charlie asked Audrey Rose to marry him in the letter and sent her a train ticket. So if she wants to, she'll ride the train to where he's stationed and they'll get married.
Oh my gosh.
Because he had already asked her dad, the general, for permission and it was granted. So
that's crazy.
Now seeing married
because we still have months.
I letters. Know.
Like, because I got this for us for Christmas.
I know.
So we still have until Christmas. They're already married. So yeah, I have two letters and listen, I've been busy, so I haven't read them yet. But I'll just do a blind open and we'll see what's in here. So where we left off was they've arrived in the Amazon. They've met up with Orchid May's aunt. And Orchid's like, hey, you seemed really urgent in your initial letter. Like, you need to tell me something. And her aunt is like, not here. Like, we need to wait until we have a moment.
Oh, that's right. I'm so glad you reminded me of that. I was like,
And Orchid May and Sam are like totally in love. Okay, so in letter number six, we have excerpts from Sam Hunt's journal. So it's from
okay.
his perspective. There is a recipe card in here for cinnamon mosquito repellent.
Ew. What?
Ew or ooh?
Both.
Cinnamon sticks and a canning jar and some oils.
And then you smother it on yourselves.
Yeah.
Ew.
Okay,
I don't
well,
want
if
to
it
be
works,
walking
it
around
works.
smelling like cinnamon.
We have some sketches from
Oh, hold those up
Sam.
so I can see those. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. What I want to do actually is take. So there's all these, like there's, oh, and then the last thing, three boss, there's another
Ooh.
telegram. Here's another poster. So almost every letter I have has had one of these posters in it.
Yeah.
And they are gorgeous.
Yeah, they are.
I want to frame them and use them as decor.
Oh my gosh, you totally
Because
nailed it.
they're all within this aesthetic.
Yeah. They really are. It's beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's doing that over there at the flower letters, but they're nailing it.
I honestly think some of it might be AI.
Oh, that's probably
Because there is a
accurate.
hefty amount in each letter. Like these are thick. Okay, now we're on to letter number seven. We have another one of these beautiful postcards. See, even these I could
I
use.
know.
Like, I
Those are.
just picture a gallery wall of these, like,
That would be
beautiful
really pretty.
florals. If you want to know what I'm referencing, look up the flower letters and specifically the Orchid May collection, because there's just beautiful florals on everything, very tropical
Yes,
colors.
very tropical.
So we have a telegram for Reed first. We have a letter from Orchid May. No, it's from her journal.
Okay.
Then we have
I love a good journal entry. You know that.
a, oh, so this is the copy of the magazine that she writes for,
Oh,
because that's why she's in the Amazons to write columns for the
I like
magazine.
that.
Each one so far, we've gotten a copy of this magazine. It's just like a two, it's like a one page spread or a
I
two
think
page
that's
spread.
actually how they were back then.
Yeah, like it's just
They weren't like magazines like we think of now that have,
that are thick
a
and
hundred
have,
pages
yeah.
or whatever.
It's just a front cover, an inside spread, and a back cover. But it's interesting because you get more information. Like you read her letters, her journal entries, and then you also read her article, and it's like this is what she's telling the public. And then we have some more sketches. There's like they're about the both this one and the one in the last letter are like wildlife.
Oh, I love that. What is that? What kind of fish?
It's a arapaima. Arapaima. One of the largest freshwater fish in the world.
Oh my, okay.
So that's what's in here. I'll update you hopefully next time after I read them because I'm sure there's some tea. Ooh, sorry, microphone. I'm sure there's stuff going on.
I'm sure there is.
So I'm up to seven letters. I think I just received this one like a couple days ago.
Oh,
So yours should be arriving.
coming. Yeah, I think you get yours earlier than me. So cool. Again,
That's
if you are
enough.
interested in that and in receiving
They
mail.
have a wide array of collection,
Yeah.
not just the two that we have. There's, I want to say they have like six different options you can choose
That's
from.
really cool.
Yeah. So look into it, see if that's something you're interested in, but it's pretty fun. And
Yeah.
it's like another way to, I wish it was on Goodreads because I would track it and be like, yep, add that to my goal.
Exactly. Okay. Next up, Carson, what did we do on Saturday?
So on Saturday, we went and saw the Broadway Across America tour of Wicked the Musical.
And it was fabulous.
It was fabulous. It was great. So my first impression to Wicked was, I mean, I knew of it and I knew about it and I knew
Vaguely, though, I want to say you probably knew
vague. I
vaguely.
didn't know the storyline. I knew it was about,
Right.
those two, and I knew some of the songs,
Right.
but I didn't know the storyline. So my first real exposure to that story was the movie that we saw back in the fall when it came out. And I saw
Well,
it several
part one of the
times. Part
movie.
one,
Yeah.
yes. But I saw it several times because I was like, this is gorgeous, beautiful, amazing.
Yeah.
So obviously, any chance I had to see the stage production.
And just going based off of what's in the movie part one and the stage version, to up to intermission, because that's basically where they cut it off at the yep. same. Like both of them, that's Defying Gravity is the mm-hmm. Which, like, do you think that it, which one do you prefer, do you like better? Do you not even, does that not even register in your brain that you like one better than the other? Or what did you think, things that they were done maybe differently than the movie?
Okay, so it's an interesting perspective, having seen the movie before the stage production, mm-hmm. because you know that the stage production was the blueprint for the movie. The stage production is the original. It happened first. Yeah. But, I mean, I have this, like, weird love and passion for, like, the live theater.
Yeah.
And the performing arts. So I think, for the most part, they're separate entities in my mind. However, I think the movie has the advantage that they have the time. You know what I mean? They can lay the exposition and
yeah.
all that stuff. And so I think I had mentioned to you, I was like, if I had seen the musical first, again, I hadn't read the book either.
Right.
So that's all the other background information for the musical. And I think they just kind of assume
everyone's read it. Yes.
But I was like, if I had just gone in blindly and seen the musical, I feel like I would have been a little confused.
Yeah. It does move quickly. From one thing to the next, the characters never, like, raise their hand and say, hi, I'm Elphaba. Hi, I'm, like, it's yeah. just, it's like all of a sudden they're there and you're supposed to know who they are.
Yeah. Like, and with the main characters, it's not as difficult. But the one I found difficult was Bok.
Yeah.
Because he just had come in and was like, just jabbering and doing his thing. And I was like, who is that? And I did not put it together until Dancing Through Life.
Yes.
I think when he was like,
oh, well, because there's only that one little scene where he's talking to Galinda, but she's saying his name wrong. Like, again, yeah. I know that's the kitsch part of the thing, but
yeah,
that's really it. If you're not paying attention,
yeah,
you miss it.
And I think he was on stage. He probably had a lot of stage time. But he just walks around and is like,
yeah,
in it. But I remember in the movie, you get that scene when everyone's arriving at Shiz and he's like, oh, hey, like, I'm obsessed with you. My name's Bok.
Yeah.
And then you have him in your mind and you're like, I need to keep track of him because, they took the time to put in a scene of him introducing himself. So yes. He must be important later.
Yes.
Then into act two, when all that stuff happens with Bok, you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Because I feel like there's not enough of him to be like, oh no.
Yeah. So again, I think this is important to point out that, so before they even did the stage production of Wicked, it's based off of a book.
Yes.
By Gregory Maguire.
Yes.
The Life and Times of
the Wicked Witch of
the West. Wicked Witch of the West. And it was published like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago.
Purchased that book, and I think I have the 25th anniversary. Okay. And I bought it a long time ago, so it's probably been almost
longer than that. I'm sure when it came out, it was extraordinarily taboo, because I believe still to my core that there are parts of it that are a little questionable, right? But I think the reason why I enjoyed the musical, which the musical was my first exposure to it, was because I had read the book.
Yeah.
So I have all the back information about what it's like to be a munchkin, which explains yeah. why Bok is the way that he is. There's, the map is in the book. So you can actually see the little areas. So you see where, Glinda came from the upper uplands. And
yeah.
like she, you see where the kingdom, where Fiero comes from.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And you learn a little bit more about like why some animals can talk and some can't. And, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so to our listeners, if you have watched the movie and you, don't maybe understand some of the parts, read the book.
Yeah. I definitely want to read the book. I have two copies of it, which is
funny. Do you really?
This is to our beginning point, I had bought a copy of it when I was younger, and it was like the 25th anniversary, whatever. I had no idea anything about anything. I
Right.
think I had heard of the musical at that point. Obviously hadn't seen it, but I was like, oh, there's a book of this. And like, who isn't obsessed with The Wizard of Oz? Let's be
Oh,
honest.
for
Like
reals.
that classic film like has touched everybody.
Yeah.
And so I think from that, I was like, well, I should buy this book. And then I tried to read it, but I was still younger at the time. I want to say I was probably early high school, maybe middle school
Okay.
when I bought it.
Yeah.
And I like just tried to get, and it was just, it's just written like very, I don't want to say like maturely in a negative connotation, but it's just very like,
Yeah, it's for
it's
mature
just more
readers.
intellectual, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like you try to read it. And to me, like as a younger kid, I was like, this book doesn't make any for
You're like, no,
adults.
I just need
Okay.
something entertaining.
So I like put it away and I have never read it. So I had that. And then, of course, when the movie came out and after I saw the movie, I was obsessed. And they re-released the book with the movie cover.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I
Okay.
think I want that.
Okay.
So I did buy the movie cover
Fair.
of the book. So I did have two copies of that.
Well, I don't have my own copy of it, which is fine. I borrowed it from the library again years ago when I read it. And yeah. Anyway,
I know
it's
it's
interesting.
gonna be a wild ride. But I just hope that it has like the heart and the whimsical aspect and also the emotion that the musical and the movie have.
Yeah. It doesn't, because it's
Okay.
actually like it's the precursor. It's not actually the like the you know what you imagine to be the story that the screenplay is written from.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. It's like information and a previous story and a
Oh.
little into getting to Elphaba being created, yada yada.
Okay.
But it's not it's kind of before that almost.
Oh, okay. So it
So
would
it's
be good for exposition.
yeah, it totally would. Yeah.
The other thing I have to say is Gregory Maguire actually just released a new book.
Elfie.
It's called Elfie, and it's about her like childhood years, I guess.
Yeah.
So
I thought that.
I'm wondering where that all fits into the
Me too.
Wicked book of it all.
Me too.
I almost bought it because I was like, oh, this is a franchise I like. What's this? And then I was like, I feel like I don't need to read this.
I don't know. It might be good.
But I
Maybe
need,
it's Mike more stories.
I know. I feel like I need to read the original one first to understand kind of
Yes.
what goes on. And then if I'm more interested, then I will pick it up. But I just saw it and I was like, oh, perhaps I need that. And I decided in the moment, I was like, I don't. Which is weird because I don't do that often. If I tell myself I need that, I'm like, yep, I do.
Like that song. I want it.
I
I
got
need
it. I need it.
it.
I
I
see it.
bought
I
it.
like it. I want it. That's Ariana Grande. That's Glinda herself.
And there you go. Oh, goodness.
But yeah, I loved the musical, and I'm sure the second part of the movie is going to do me in even further.
Oh, yes. Now that you know how it ends.
Well, and the beauty of movies is that they can take, obviously, the blueprint. But they can do, you know, they can do close-ups and they can add the score and they can, I don't know. And
Exactly.
I'm sure even as emotional as the first one was, the amount of stuff that happens in the second act is going to be whoa.
Yeah, the thing that I liked about the movie versus the stage is, you know, the stage you're limited. Now, I will say that
Right.
their set design is
Oh, it's amazing.
top tier.
I also have to say, it was like the Broadway Across America tour, but I feel like it wasn't any cheaper. It wasn't any, like the set production, like the
Oh,
production
it's the
itself.
same.
It
Yeah.
wasn't any cheaper. I feel like we didn't miss out on anything. I feel like it was the same as if we had been in New York and saw them Broadway, which is a good thing.
Yep. Yeah, and really they have a lot of moving parts to that set. They
Yes,
really and truly
they
do.
do.
Like her bubble and all of that. So that's really like again, the stage production is amazing, but then how they brought it to life in the movie just to me was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the cool thing about movies versus maybe musicals. And if you've seen any musical and then a movie that's made up, you understand what I'm talking about, that it's just bigger scale. They can do more. There's more CGI they can include, which of
Yeah.
course
But
improves.
in random, I almost said research. It's not research. It was like TikTok, probably. In all that information that I've seen, they did a lot of practical effects for Wicked. The tulip fields, they planted 9 million
Yeah.
tulips. Shiz University, they built that whole set. You could walk around the campus.
Which is so
Like,
cool.
Cynthia Erivo did her own flying stunts while singing. They sang live on the
On the
set. Like,
set.
which
It's
I think is actually a
phenomenal.
great allusion to the stage musical, because in the stage production, they have to sing live.
Yep.
So I think it's actually really special that they sang live on the set
Me too.
for the movie, because it just puts that like realism and the magic into it that way.
Agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, it was amazing. That was I believe my fourth time. I think it was only fourth, maybe it was fifth, I don't know. And I love that musical.
Yeah.
It's one
I
of my
need to see it a
favorites.
thousand more times, and I'm gonna see it on Broadway eventually.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend yesterday, and I was like, they need to do like a, not like a farewell thing, but they need to do like a special showing where they bring the original cast back
Oh, that would be
and have
amazing.
them do it. I know they could do it. Kristen
Oh,
Chenoweth
they
would be
totally
amazing.
could do
They can
it.
do it. But I was like, I would pay an
Big money.
astronomical amount of money to see them play their original roles again.
I would
Because
too.
I never got the chance to see it. I was literally 2 years old when this, when they were doing it.
Well, I didn't get to see them either. Like, by the time I saw it for the first time, it had been going for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's anyway, it's
So I
amazing.
need them to just come put it on, do it like normal. But I
Yeah.
need it to be at least those two. I don't care about the rest, honestly.
Yeah, because they're the OGs.
But to see them do it, and I need a spot secured for me so that I can be there. I'll pay, but I need a guaranteed spot and good seats. So if anyone with that power is listening, hook me up. Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay. Last, but definitely not least. This month, in the month of April, I need to clarify that, we have been reading the book The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. I love a good Kristen Hanna book. She is one of my favorite authors. She just writes really well. She develops the characters in a way that you love them, hate them, feel all their emotions while you're reading the book. Anyway, so The Nightingale.
First of all, let's say spoilers for
Yes,
those who aren't
if
reading.
you have not read it and you don't want to be spoiled, come back, read it, and then come back and finish this up.
Yeah, or just like skip ahead.
Yeah,
So we still get
your whole read.
your
Listen.
listen. You do. But yeah, lots of things are happening in this book.
Agree.
So one scene that comes to mind is the German Nazi has moved in
Yes.
and he comments on her hair. He says, "You have such beautiful hair." And she chops it off right in front of him.
Oh, Isabel does.
Yes.
Yes.
I just think, I mean, first of all, she is kind of like,
She's extra.
she's extra. But I just thought, I was like, that's actually kind of cool.
She just does not give two craps what
Well, she, like,
anybody
it's
thinks.
interesting seeing the dynamic between her and her sister, because her sister is just like quiet, reserved, will just, she just goes with it.
Vianne, yeah.
Like, it's, she doesn't want the Nazi in her home either.
No, but she understands that it's a part of
Of course, she
the
has to
war.
accept it.
And if she doesn't,
It'll be
worse
worse.
things.
Yep.
Yes.
But Isabel just, she stands up for what she thinks or knows is right
Yeah.
and will like fight for it.
And we're going to talk about Isabel a little bit more when in depth, well, not really in depth, but like our literary term for today relates. Like, I chose one that I could specifically pull out from this book. So we will get a little bit more into the character of Isabel. But yeah, so it's interesting when you first start reading the book. I want to say this. I think that you think the book is going to be from Vianne's perspective, the whole
Yeah,
book.
that's what I thought.
And it ends up really, at least where we're at right now, we're at chapter 20. it's being told mostly from the point of view of Isabel.
You get both, but I think it's
mostly Isabel. Yeah.
She's also doing the more interesting things.
She really and truly is. She is.
But, I mean, Vianne is also going through some stuff.
Yeah. She just lost her job. She
had written that list. I knew that was going to be bad from the second that he asked her to do that.
I know. I was just like,
but I can totally.
But also, he knew who they were, even if she hadn't given him the list.
And he, I think, knew something was going to happen. He's testing her, and I think something is going to happen between those two. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's almost trying to, like, romance her.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping she doesn't fall for that. But
I also,
my point is, I can see. So, she does need taken care of.
Yes.
And I know he could do that. So, if something happens, I could respect it. And that's kind of my point is, Vianne is, she continues to get in rocky situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect her for it because I understand her perspective.
She's doing the best with,
like,
what she...
Yes, she doesn't love having Nazi in her house, but she could be killed if she refuses him.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't want to write the list of names, but she could be killed
if she doesn't write... Yeah, exactly.
She's thinking about her well-being, her daughter, her husband. It's almost like she's kind of like Glinda.
Yeah.
She has to make her choices based on how it's going to affect her and her future.
Yeah. And she's... I think she's hesitant to take risks because, like... you know, the day that the SS or whoever, the Gestapo that pulled up at the school and they were talking to that one teacher that was a male who was a Jew and they told him that he was terminated, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, what did he do? Like, she starts questioning.
What's going on?
She questions and then they terminate her. And I think that kind of solidifies in her of, I can't question like Isabel does because she can find, Isabel always gets out of it almost scot-free.
Yes.
Not really, but like
almost
unscathed.
Crazy. Yes.
She manages to question authority and all these other things. And
then she's just fine.
She's okay. But Vianne does it one time and.
Yeah. But also to that effect, like Isabel has no roots.
Yeah, she doesn't have a child.
She doesn't have anything to lose.
Yeah, it's so true.
And she doesn't worry about losing her life or her freedom. She accepts that. She's like, if that happens, whatever. But I'm going to do my best to avoid that. But Vianne is like, my house, my husband, my daughter, the life we've built, she has to protect it.
Yeah.
But you can also see Vianne's like almost internal struggle of like, why does Isabel continue to get away with this? But the second I question anything, I lose my job.
Yeah.
And that's what she was trying to avoid the whole time.
Yeah, it was not because she knew that she was out of money and that was going to be it. So now we don't know what's going to happen on that front.
Do you have any recollection of the rest of this book?
I vague bits. When I read it, I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I looked it up and I think it was like 5 years ago that I read this.
Okay.
So, does that make sense? Yeah. I think it was 5 years ago that I read this. So, it's been long enough that it's in and out, Janice Green. But it's, again, I didn't even remember the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, the book starts off with someone in, it's what, 1995?
Yeah.
It's this really old lady. Her son's putting her into a home because she's going to pass away, it sounds like, because she has cancer or something.
Yeah.
And so I think at the beginning when that starts, we're like, oh, the book is going to be about her. But we actually are to the point where we're like, who is she?
But we know now.
But we know now. Yes.
But I honestly, like when I first opened
this book. But we didn't know.
We didn't know. But I love that mystery.
Yeah.
That it sets initially. And so the whole time, again, until about halfway through, you're like, who is this lady? And what does she have to do with the story we're being told?
Yeah.
Because for the first while, you're like, oh, she has nothing to do with these two sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like, why is this part being told?
Well, then
But now we know it's because Isabel's name was changed.
Yeah, it was her false identity. And also her code name Nightingale.
Yeah.
That's cool. I have to say that's not at all what I thought this book was going to be about.
Really?
Yes. I thought this book was going to be about, like, women who were like at the front and were nurses in the war.
Like Florence Nightingale.
Like Florence Nightingale. That's why I thought that.
Okay.
And I feel like aren't nurses sometimes referred to as Nightingales? Mm-hmm.
They are.
Okay, because I thought Florence Nightingale, so I was like, oh, like a nurse during the war. I wonder what they saw.
Yeah.
But I was totally wrong, and I'm not mad about that.
No.
But that's just like from the cover, that's what I assumed.
Yeah.
That was my inference.
I honestly, when I read it the very first time, I didn't know either. And I was like, why is it called this? And
then, when that line dropped, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like, and it makes sense now.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen that this is one of those books that people say is like heart-wrenching.
It is.
You cry. It so I'm still waiting for that to happen. I mean, there's been parts where I'm like, ooh, ouch. I do have to say, Isabel's little romance with,
Gayton? That's how I say it.
That's how I've been saying it in my head. That's how my narrator has been saying it.
Okay.
It's me, I'm the narrator. That is so annoying to me.
And he's back! Like, I wanted him to just be gone. Like,
and the thing is, like, I feel like the first part of this book, when she, like, met him, traveled with him to get to Anne's house
2 days.
I feel like that was so fast. Like, it's so fast.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I love him. He left me. He doesn't want me. And then she's been dwelling on it this whole time. And now that he's back, she's all confused.
I know.
It's like, how are you like, in love with him? You don't know him. You don't know him. But then the fact that he liked to, he was like bragging to her that he pulled all the strings. He's like, I knew you were going to be working with us. I told so-and-so about you. And then so-and-so told so-and-so. And I was the friend that recommended you. I'm like, dude, you're kind of a stalker.
Yeah, right.
Like, you've known this girl for a day or two, and you just know she's going to work for the rebellion, and you're recommending her doll. It's so weird.
Yeah, so how shook were you when her dad
has been writing the...
He was a forger and has been making fake documents, and she thought that he was just working for the Nazi high command.
Yeah. I was actually kind of shook at that, but I also don't like him.
I don't like him either, but I feel like that redeemed him a little bit.
That did redeem him a little bit, because you're like, oh.
He's not just some dad who...
He's not just...
Basically disconnected himself.
And then he's drinking. I don't think that the drinking is good. Like, why is he doing that?
I think because he has a lot of regrets.
Well, sure. That'll do it.
Do you know what I mean? Because basically, he dumped those girls.
Yes.
And well, because life was too hard.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, life gets hard.
It does.
But... You don't
Men
give up.
Always handle it wrong.
Well, yes, we do know that.
but yeah, I was like kind of a hater. And then the other part that had not my jaw on the floor, but like my brain moving, was when Isabel like is in her false identity and she goes to the one place to help bring the airmen through the mountains.
Yes.
And she, like, knocks on the door, and she's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. Julian Rossum sent me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Julian, I've heard that name.
That's her dad.
Yes, that's her dad.
Yeah.
But that's also her son
in the beginning.
In the future part. So she named her son after her dad.
Which is cool.
But I just read the name Julian, and I was like, I've seen that name written before. But it was never referenced. They never said Julian in reference to the dad until that part. So that's why my brain was spinning. I was like, I've seen that name before. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Yeah. I was like, oh, it's the son. So that further proved that lady is Isabel.
Yeah, and let's talk for a minute about that ordeal of them getting over that mountain pass, the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
I haven't looked it up. I don't even know what the distance is from...
I haven't either.
Paris to... Blah, blah, blah.
To Spain.
Well, it was San something to something, right? Where they actually started hiking into wherever. Like, but it took them 4 days.
Yeah. Oh, I also have to say I didn't like the part where it randomly just dropped the F-bomb. I was like, come on, Kristen. I was thinking I could recommend this.
But seriously, the fact that there's only been one.
I mean, true.
In the first half of the book. Yeah.
But it's just, like, in, like, the fantasy books, okay, whatever. But when it gets, when, like, it's dropped in historical fiction, I'm like, they had that word back then?
As if I mean, this they is probably possible. did, but you just can't tell me they were saying it to the degree that everyone says it now.
Yeah. It just puts things into perspective, because I'm like, this actually wasn't that long ago.
It's true. If we think about it,
it hasn't even been 100 years.
It hasn't, which is just crazy to me. A mass genocide less than 100 years ago.
In the 1900s.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This book is amazing. I did look it up from when I read it before, and I did give it 5 stars at that point in time. I firmly believe I will still give it 5 stars again.
Yeah.
Because I do love this book. Again, this was my very first book that I ever read. Well, besides like Diary of Anne Frank, that was like my foray into World War II, what happened during World War II, you know, Nazi invasion, concentration camps, yada, yada. This was my very first book. And then after this, I think I read like 15 books that were just like other ways to tell the story or other aspects of the war. And I am fascinated by all of it. I really and truly am. It's amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about all that people suffered and still walked away from that.
Yeah. Well, and all the moving parts of it.
Yeah.
Like, I've read so many different books about all the roles that people played in aiding the rebellion or stopping the mm-hmm. war. Like, I've read one on female flight pilots, the female radio operators. Now, just little, like, smaller scale. Like, she's just a girl.
Yeah.
And she's just in the inner workings of it, and she's helping. Like,
yeah.
You don't think about how many people were doing stuff like that.
It's true.
You just hear, oh, you know, this country was fighting.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, even just small things like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
That's okay. Okay, so we're going to finish this up.
Here's what I was going to say. Okay. I love that I haven't, like, been able to put this one down. Like, I haven't been bored with it at any point. Because sometimes I will say, I do love historical fiction, but sometimes they get a little slow.
Well, because they get a little full of history.
Right. But sometimes it's just those, like, in-between scenes, you know? Where it's just, like, there's a whole chapter dedicated to, they just went out and went to a restaurant or whatever.
Obviously. Right.
And it's just, like, could we just continue with the story?
Get to,
like,
the action.
The parts that don't add anything to the plot. But this one, I feel like everything is moving quickly. Like,
yeah.
In the beginning, I was like, this is moving very quickly. Like, what's going on here? But it's actually good because it makes you want to continue reading. Like, you don't get bored with it.
Yeah, that's why I say she's a good writer.
I feel like a lot of the books that I've picked up lately have been like that. Ones that I've just plowed through. And it's like, wow, I spent a little bit of time in my life picking up a lot of duds.
You know what? I really and truly have.
But like, you just kind of do your research, like read the reviews.
Yeah.
Read the book descriptions.
Well, sometimes I'm willing to read a dud because just even if the reviews say it's because sometimes that's just somebody else's perspective. Right.
And also sometimes, like, if people say a book is awful, it almost makes me curious. Like,
why? Man. Why is it awful? Yeah.
Like, for example, The Midnight Library, when we read that, people raved about that thing and I hated it.
That book was dumb.
That was awful. I mean, it was a great idea, executed horribly.
I agree.
Sorry, Matt. Didn't like it.
That every time we go into Barnes & Noble, we hide your book.
We do.
Yeah. Okay, so readers, listeners, keep reading this. We're going to finish it up. We'll talk about it probably one more time at the end of the month.
Yes, we'll
talk. We'll sum up the whole second half of it
and
how it ended. Blah, blah, blah.
So keep reading it. If you haven't started, start. You've got time.
You've got time. You've got time. Because honestly, you can plow through this. It's such an engaging story. It really will keep you.
Well, and like, if you don't like historical fiction, you should. You're wrong if you don't like historical fiction.
Yeah. And this is one of the better historical fiction.
I think there's a lot of historical fiction out there, honestly.
There is, but most of them, like you said, can be very boring. Yeah, this is not, so for sure.
Go ahead and tell us about our literary term.
Okay, so listeners, our literary term of this episode is characterization. So, characterization is any of the various techniques used by an author to reveal the traits of a character to the reader. This could be similes,
It could just be physical
it could just be
description
physical description, it could be
in our thoughts.
used in, yeah, in their thoughts, in their words, like their dialogue.
Their action.
All of that. So, for example, Isabel in The Nightingale is characterized as a rebellious and brave young woman who actively defies societal expectations, particularly during World War II. We know this because she is always being described as someone who is kind of bucking at authority. She rejects the idea of being a proper lady. She doesn't want to learn how to do embroidery
When we
and
first
set a
meet
table
her,
and yeah, when we first met her,
like
she
finishing
was
school.
getting kicked out again.
Well, she was like getting kicked out of her like third finishing school.
Yeah, so
So
she doesn't want.
that exposition is like, oh, she clearly is a rebel. She's been kicked out of three finishing schools.
Yeah, she doesn't want to just sit there and go, oh, let's plan a dinner party. Like, that's not her
Yeah.
thing. Which is
Well,
what
and
makes her really great in her character in this book.
yes, and other characters have frequently described her as opinionated and I
Daring.
can't keep her mouth shut. They use a specific word and I can't.
Impetuous.
Yes.
Yes.
That word has come up so many times. But all of those things just give you more information on who this girl
Isabel
is.
is. And she's sassy. And like Carson brought up earlier, the German officer who
She's
transcripted himself to
also.
stay at their house, he's like, your hair is beautiful. What does she do? Chop.
Well, and she's always been regarded as beautiful. And she
Yes.
uses that to her advantage, which is a
At the
sled.
point we're in the story right now, yeah. She.
But so she's always been called beautiful and it's never bothered her. But when the enemy, a German Nazi in her home,
Yep.
says, "You have beautiful hair,"
She's like,
she
nope, we're not
grabs
having that.
something and she chops it off right in front of him.
Yeah.
That is just bold. It's impulsive. It's rebellious.
Yeah. From the get-go, she was involved in all the rebellious activity, you know, like taking the little leaflets around and distributing them. All of those things that other people would have been like, no, I'm too afraid to do this because if I get caught,
Yeah.
you know, and she was like, yeah, I don't want to get caught.
Every time she's proposed with a new rebellious idea,
She's like,
they're
yep.
like, this could be dangerous. You could be caught. And she's like, I can do it.
Yeah.
She always says, I
I
can
can
do
do it.
this.
Yeah, which is amazing. So I do have high hopes for her for the second half of the book as well.
Yeah,
I think she's
me too.
gonna,
She's going to do some stuff.
I
And also,
think it's also gonna get a little bit dangerous.
oh, for sure.
Because once the Nazis clue into what the
What's going
Nightingale is
on?
doing,
Yeah.
it's gonna be all
Vianne
hands on
becomes
deck
the
after her.
Nightingale. I also think Vianne is going to snap. That's my prediction. I feel like Vianne is just going to snap and do, I mean, not hugely, but I feel like she's going to do something.
Well, don't you feel like
It's
she's kind of,
really
she's gonna
weird.
have to? She's in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. She's
I
not.
have this really bad feeling that she's going to have to end up like marrying Captain Beck or something, and I really
Ooh.
hope that doesn't happen. But he's also totally trying to riz her up.
Yeah, he is.
He's like, oh, look, madame, I have a wine. Would you
I
like
know, he's
some?
always giving her wine,
And
like,
then she's
she
like,
can't even put food in her belly,
no.
dude.
And then she finally like breaks down and is like, I lost my job. I have no money. How am I going to feed my daughter and keep her warm? And he's like,
You'll be taken care
she'll
of.
be fine, darling.
Yeah, that was
And it's like, what
interesting.
are you implying, Captain
Yeah,
Beck?
but also
Because you have a wife at home and she has a husband who's a prisoner of war.
what's she gonna have to do
Yeah.
to ensure that they're taken care
Yeah.
of? You
She's
know, it's
probably, oh no, it's the list all over again. He's probably gonna be like, I'll feed you if you tell me blah blah blah.
or I'll feed you if you.
We get it.
Loser.
I was
Okay.
hoping that we didn't have to go there.
Yes, but I think that's, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, that's the
Yeah,
episode.
thanks for listening. We talked about a lot today. We've got an hour on
Do
here.
we really?
Yeah.
Gosh, time
How do we keep
flies.
doing that?
Time flies. Probably because it's just like sitting here, like we were Saturday in your car, and we just talk about everything.
We need to do a pod on the road.
That would be fun.
Next time we go up to Boise or something to see a show, we should pod,
pod on the road. On the road. I think that would be
we fun. Could pod like halfway on the way there, like anticipatory. And then on the way back, we can summarize what we experienced.
Which, listeners, we went to the Boise Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yes.
Which is probably 5 times bigger than the Twin Falls store.
Oh, my gosh. It was huge. They had a selection way more massive than the selection we have. Yeah. I walked through sections that we have in ours, and I've seen 1,000 books I've never seen before.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how they choose what goes where.
I 100%. Yeah.
I think they should expand ours. Give us a second floor.
How would they do that?
Build it up. I don't know. I'm not an architect.
Well, anyway.
Okay. This has been Get Lit, episode 8. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope that we hope to talk to you next time.
Yeah.
Listen in next time. Yeah. You don't have a choice. We're going to talk to you. Okay, don't forget to get lit, whatever that means to you. Goodbye.
Cheers.